Genesis 31 on Through the Word, and the time has come for two generations to go their separate ways. It's a hard transition for any family. When the kids are grown and it's time to leave the nest, the family dynamics get complicated. The young generation has its own dreams and goals, ready to build a new family. But for the older, this was their dream. This was their family, and now it's leaving. Here in chapter 31, the younger generation is Jacob, with his wives Rachel and Leah. And they're really not all that young anymore. Jacob has 12 kids now. 20 years have passed since Jacob showed up in town with nothing. Nothing, that is, but a birthright back at home, some severely burned bridges keeping him from it, and a promise from God to be with him and see him through. 20 years passed, 20 years of hard work on his father-in-law's farm, and Jacob has a lot to show for it. Or does he? Is it his, or is it Laban's? Laban is the older generation, and this is where the family dynamics get sticky. Jacob did the work, but the sheep and goats and fields were Laban's from the beginning. There's a lot more now, so who keeps the profit? That's the contention, and it heats up in verse 1. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, "Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all this wealth." And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." So God says return home, and Jacob gets ready. He sends for his wives so that he can tell them the plan. And there's a key phrase here in verse 5. Jacob tells the two women, "The God of my father has been with me." It is the promise that God made him at Bethel, the same word God just repeated for his trip home, "I will be with you." There were many promises that God made to Jacob, but I believe that this is the one that really sustained him through the struggles. And struggles there were. In verse 6, "You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me." Several times in the chapter, we see God stepping in to protect his servant Jacob. God promised to watch over him, and God came through. Laban was tricky, but God always saw. So Rachel and Leah listen, and they agree to go in verse 16. Then Jacob packs the whole family up on camels, gathers the flock, and hits the road. Then two little things add a twist to the story in verse 19. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods. And Jacob tricked Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he intended to flee. So Rachel stole dad's idols. Laban still worshipped empty gods, and apparently so did Rachel. And here it all gets sticky. Jacob left home 20 years back, and apparently tried to leave deception and trickery behind. But now Laban first changed brides on Jacob, and then changed his wages 10 times. On the way out, Rachel steals the idols and doesn't tell anyone, and now Jacob tricks Laban by not telling him they're leaving. It is a huge web of lies. It's hard to tell who's zooming who, but the chase is on. Jacob makes 3 days out before Laban and sons catch on, and 7 more days before they catch up. On the way, God himself warned Laban not to mess with Jacob, but Laban's still ticked. And in verse 26, "And Laban said to Jacob, 'What have you done, that you have tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me, so that I might have sent you away with mirth and songs, with tambourine and lyre? And why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and my daughters farewell? Now you have done foolishly.'" So Laban lets it all out. He's mad, and it's hard not to have a little pity on the guy. He was a con man for sure, and never fair to Jacob. But the old grandpa never even got to kiss his grandchildren goodbye. Laban plays the innocent victim here, and he insists that he would have thrown them all a grand farewell party. Then the web gets a little stickier in verse 30. "Why did you steal my gods?" Pity the man whose gods can be stolen. And that goes for more than just statues. That's your money, your toys, your car, your fame, your drug, your fix. It can all be taken away. Laban's gods were indeed stolen, and Jacob is clueless about it. But Rachel still has a few tricks up her sleeve, or really under her saddle. Laban goes on a thorough hunt for the idols while Rachel is sitting on them the whole time, in the camel's saddle. Then Rachel pulls a classic. She tells her dad, "I can't get up because the way of women is on me." And it works, and I'm starting to wonder which spider is spinning the biggest web. Laban can't find the idols, and Jacob feels vindicated. And with that one last straw, Jacob finally lets loose on 20 years of pent-up frustration. I'll read you the highlights, starting in verse 36. Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. Jacob said to Laban, "What is my offense? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried. I have not eaten the rams of your flocks. There I was. By day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." Yep, Jacob's ticked. He's not buying Laban's sweet old grandpa routine, not this time. And notice that Jacob credits God for protecting him. He calls God the fear of Isaac, just to strike a little extra fear of God into Laban. And in verse 43, "Then Laban answered and said to Jacob, 'The daughters are my daughters, the children are my children, the flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine.'" Laban's defense gives us a real glimpse into his heart. My daughters, my children, my flocks, all you see is mine. The heart of a deceiver is self-centered and self-serving. Laban knows that he had almost nothing when Jacob showed up. He knows that it was Jacob who worked and on Jacob's account that God blessed, but the selfish heart still holds on. But what can he do? His daughters and grandkids are leaving, and Laban makes one last request in verse 44. "Come now, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." Laban wants a witness. 5 times he uses the word witness here. He has to let his family go out of his sight, and a con man never trusts what he can't see. In verse 49, he says, "The Lord watch between you and me when we are out of one another's sight." As for Jacob, he's just fine with the Lord watching over him. That's the one thing he's counting on. So with God as witness, the deceivers finally settle, and they have that farewell meal after all. And early the next morning, Laban plays the good granddad one last time, and he kisses the kids goodbye.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.